Let's look at Acts Actions, Part 9. In Genesis 12:3, Israel's fall. Genesis 12:3, that's not related, really. Israel, Gentile salvation before Paul had to come through Genesis 12:3. Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless them that bless thee. Not only am I going to bless you, Abraham, in this covenant, this is the Genesis 12 covenant, God says, not only am I going to bless you, but I'll bless them that bless you. So, in other words, he's giving incentive for the nations around Israel to be a blessing to Israel rather than to try and fight them. God was working through the nation at that time, not through individuals so much as through the nation. But Israel's salvation, Israel's fall in Acts 9 that we discussed before, that fall had to come before salvation was issued directly to Gentiles without going through Israel. And well, did you ever notice in Acts 22:22, did you wonder why the Jews reacted so violently to Paul when he finally told them what Christ had told him nearly four chapters earlier in Acts? Paul had had this temple vision, and in it the Lord told him, get out of Jerusalem immediately. They're not going to believe you if you tell them what I'm telling you. And it wound up just before he left Jerusalem left the temple, that the Lord told him, depart, I will, that's a future thing, in the future, I will send you to send you far hence to the Gentiles. Far hence. In other words, far away. We don't use the word hence too much, but we still use it some. But it was his sending directly to Gentiles, or actually to all people, because by that time, Israel had fallen. They were not a special people. They were like the uncircumcision. Romans 2:25. They were not followers of the law, obeyers of the law. Especially the law in Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 and 19, they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So, first we want to look at the covenant with God that those Jews were under, back there in Genesis 12. And second, we want to look at what the Bible reports that Christ told Paul four chapters earlier. That would be in Acts 18, verse 22. That's two. Third thing, we're going to consider the apparent conflict that those Jews saw when Paul came back to Jerusalem after the temple vision. He had gone on a trip and come back and told them the Lord had told them in that temple vision. And they blew up. But anyway, fourthly, we'll see what that proves, what it shows. Okay, first thing, what was that covenant? Let's look at Genesis 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. And if you're looking in your own Bible, you can look at verse 12, verse 7, too, Genesis 12, 7, part of the covenant. It's not the same, but later on, the Lord tells Abram that he's giving him the land. The land is set apart for him. Verse 1, Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And remember, Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And when you look in Ephesians 2:11 and 12, that fits. I mean, it helps us understand. Wherefore, remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, and it tells who called them that, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, and that's the only reference to the circumcision or Israel or Jews in that chapter. But it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, even though they were Gentiles, if they would have been in the commonwealth of Israel, they wouldn't be without Christ. You are without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. That's severe. But that's the condition that Gentiles were under. Well, okay, that's the first point, the covenant. Secondly, keep in mind that the Gentiles in general were under that curse of alienation from God's covenants of promise that God had made with Israel. We saw that in Genesis 12:3 as well as Ephesians 2:11 and 12, that they were alienated by not being part of God's workings in the world, working through Israel, through the covenants God made with Israel. So with that in mind, observe, as Christ revealed his remedy of that alienation by his later, wider sending of Paul with the gospel of the grace of God, which was to be preached shortly after his temple vision, the vision that Paul tells about in Acts 22, starting in verse 17. We'll read that now. We've talked about the temple vision and that it came in Acts 18:22, but later on in Acts 22, he describes it. He comes back to Jerusalem and says what happened in the previous trip when he came to Jerusalem and had to leave in a hurry. Acts 22:17, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. Quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And that's exactly what happened when he came back to Jerusalem and tried to tell them. And this is when he's telling them that we're reading here. Acts 22:19, and I said, Lord, they know that I am prison and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. Verse 20, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. In other words, I helped. Acts 22:21, and he said unto me, this is during that temple vision, and Paul describing it later, he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Well, he'd already been going to Gentiles that were Greeks in the synagogues, hadn't he? And that was okay with the Jews. But here in Acts 22, verse 22, the next verse, and they gave him audience unto that word, unto this word, Gentiles, actually Goyim, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. They were angry, to say the least, incensed. All right, that's the second thing. Third thing that we want to look at out of these four things, look at the apparent conflict that produced for the Jews. that the Jews that wouldn't believe that Jesus was their Messiah. That was why it produced a conflict, because they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Those apostate Jews worked hard at keeping the law and the covenants. And it was beyond their comprehension that God could save those alienated Gentiles that he promised to curse in Genesis 12:3. Jews could only understand and believe God's newly revealed pattern of salvation when they turned their hearts to believe that Jesus was their risen Messiah. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 3:15 and 16. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart, the Jews' heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Well, that hasn't happened in almost 2,000 years, but we're told that it is going to happen. Again, Zechariah 12:10. They shall look on him whom they pierced and mourn for him. That's when are they going to see him? When he's appearing in the atmosphere, when he's coming back to touch down on Mount of Olives, after the church, the body of Christ, has been caught up to be with the Lord 7 years earlier, at least. Okay, that's three things. The fourth, that's why there was this conflict between in the disbeliever's mind when he's saying that God will save these alien Gentiles that aren't part of Israel. And God said he would curse them. That's why Israel had to fall before God would initiate this new pattern of salvation by saving Paul a different way, saving him as a sinner, not as a law keeper. 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. So the fourth item, and we can see that proves that Paul's sending is God's later, wider dispensation of the grace of God to all men. It was different from Paul's sending in God's earlier dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The difference was only, though, it was only in who it was sent to. It was not a different message. The message is the same as today. Believe that Christ died for your sins and rose again, and you're saved, if that's all you're believing in. Now, if you say, well, that's not, I'm not sure enough in that, I want to get some insurance, I think I'll go get baptized in water, or I'll go and give a lot of money to the church, or start going to church, I'll do God a favor. No. Yeah, God's not going to be obligated to anybody. You can count on that. But he is gracious. He gives more than you can expect. And if you're willing to accept it and believe that Christ went to the cross and the blood of the cross saved you from your sins, you're saved then. So during God's earlier dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek, God gave Paul his Romans 10:1 heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved. It was a driving desire for him, as in Romans 11:5, where it's called a remnant according to the election of grace. During God's later, wider dispensation of the grace of God to all men, in Acts 20, verse 24, Paul begins to exercise the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's in Acts 20, verse 24, shortly after he was sent to all people. Paul's later sending, talked about in Acts 20:24, is about 15 years after Paul's earlier sending in Acts 13, verses 1 through 4. They're not the same. They're different. Different sendings, same saving message, but a different audience, a wider audience. The later wider audience that Paul was sent to is all people, including the Jews and the Greeks, yeah. But they can't come to God on that basis anymore. They have to come on the basis Paul came, as a sinner, deserving death, deserving hell in the lake of fire. So we can see that that proves that the dispensation of the grace of God, during which Paul was later sent to all men to preach gospel, the gospel of salvation to all men, it had differences from Paul's sending in Christ's earlier dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So we'll go on to the next item, I think, now. A dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek was calling out the remnant, according to the election of grace, from Israel. A remnant is in the Bible is talking about a small group of believing Israelites, okay, from Israel. And this remnant, according to the election or choice of grace, is from Israel. They're from Israel. But they're believing the gospel that ushers them into the body of Christ. I should say baptizes them into the body of Christ. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And that involved those of at least 16 cities. You can go through and you can find that Paul preached the gospel in Galatia, which is a whole bunch of, it's an area, really, not a city, but in Thessalonica, in Corinth, Rome, as well as those in Antioch of Syria, Salamis, Paphos, Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Perga, Berea, Athens, and early Philippi, and early Ephesus, where Paul preached. The God-fearing Gentiles who got circumcised, that's where, now this is before, let me start with a verse. Romans 11:7. What then? Israel hath not obtained what he seeketh for, but the election hath. But I didn't write down the rest of the verse. Let me get that and get it accurate for you. I hate to guess at the word of God. It's so important. That was 7. And it says, what then? Israel hath not obtained what he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. So those that chose to follow Paul's preaching of what the Lord was offering, the salvation, they chose grace and obtained it. The rest were blinded. Those that rebelled against and defied God, and God's provision for them, they fell out. They did not, what's it say? They were blinded. Blinded. And that blinding continues today until they see him coming with the pierced hands and they recognize him as Jesus Christ coming in the sky. So, do you remember what Israel was seeking for? Look at back, and we'll look again at Romans 9, 31, 32, and 33. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? How come? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it's written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So he won't let them down, in other words. That includes God's exception for Gentiles that was in Genesis 12, 3, the beginning of the verse there, I will bless them that bless thee. God won't let them down. Wouldn't. You know, that's past now. Israel's covenants are on hold. They've walked away from them. God didn't stop them. Even the unconditional covenants, God will make a way to fulfill them. But in the meantime, Israel has walked away from them, and no prophecy is going on until the body of Christ that God rescued us with, actually. He didn't have to, but he was gracious and made a way for us to come to God when Israel fell. I lost my train of thought there, but let's get back to Romans 11, verses 7 to 15. Starting with verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. The prophetic election, those that chose to believe Jesus is the risen Messiah. Okay, those Jews that had rejected that and now believed it, they elected to believe it. The rest were blinded. Verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Verse 10, let their eyes be darkened, and that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. Verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. So whatever Gentiles it was it came to, it had come to at that time. Because he says salvation is come to, not is going to come or will come. Salvation is come unto the Gentiles. So the clause was, but rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles. That means by the time Paul wrote this in Romans in Acts 20, they had already fallen. So we've already pretty well pinpointed it back in Acts 7. But this confirms it, that it was before Acts 20 that Israel fell. Well, it says, through their fall, salvation is come to unto the Gentiles. It doesn't say all the Gentiles, does it? It tells us which Gentiles it comes to at that time. The Gentiles that were able to provoke Israel to jealousy. They were right there in their synagogue with them. The Greeks. Doesn't say the word Greek there, but it says salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy, to provoke Israel to jealousy. Romans 11:12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing, there's that term diminishing, that we know that God kept working with individuals, even though the nation of Israel had fallen, he says, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the world, how much more their fullness? There's a hope for the future. There's a looking forward to when the kingdom out of heaven will come to earth. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done, will be prayed and will be answered. Our conversation is in heaven. We're not praying to the Lord, for the Lord to come and rule over us on earth. Our conversation is in heaven, and we're looking forward to that blessed hope of going up to be with the Lord. Romans 11:12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, the apostle, that's singular, I magnify mine office. That's Romans 11:13. Jesus Christ made Paul the singular apostle of the Gentiles. Young's Concordance shows that the word apostle comes from APO and STELLO, apo, Stello, being one sent forth one. Sent out, in other words, we would say today probably. Christ sent forth Paul in stages. We saw that Paul was separated from Judaism to the gospel of God. And then in Acts 20, Paul wrote Romans 11, verses 11 to 14, showing that he was sent to the Jews, including others who believed as Jews, Greeks. And then finally in Acts 22, verses 17 to 21, Paul reveals, well, those verses reveal to us that Paul had been sent to all the Gentiles, as revealed to Ananias back in Acts 9:15. That part of it that's to the Gentiles finally arrived. Paul's sending to all the Gentiles was in Acts 22, verse 21. Philippians 4:15 and 16 pinpoints Paul's all man sending to all people, even more specifically as being in Acts chapter 20, verse 6. So you can follow that if you want. That's when Philippians 4:15 says that, and you got to remember that Philippi is the chief city in that part of Macedonia. So when he sails away from Philippi, he's sailing away from Macedonia, departing from Macedonia. So let's go on in Romans 11. We got to 13. Let's go to 14. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. That's a similar drive that Paul had, similar to Romans 10:1, that he wanted his fellow countrymen, the Jews, to be saved. And here it's the word provoke is used again, but it's a different provocation. It's not the Gentiles that get saved, the Greeks, those that hear Paul's message and believe it in the synagogue, and then go to Paul's meeting, get saved right in front of the Jews and provoke them to jealousy. Man, I wish I had what they have. They get saved now, not, and they don't have to wait until Christ comes back to have their sins blotted out. That's a different provoking. This provoking is Paul himself provoking the Jews to copy him. The result, hopefully, is the same. More people would get saved. But this is Paul provoking them. The other one is the Greeks provoking Israel to jealousy. And then Romans 11:15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? What do we call that? What do we call that when the Lord raised somebody from the dead? Or when the Lord was raised from the dead? I don't see it, but we call it resurrection. If the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, that's what the condition we're in now. Israel has no special in with God. So it says, if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? They'll be resurrected into the kingdom, I believe. I believe that's what that's talking about, the earthly kingdom after we've gone to heaven. During the five verses of Romans 11, verses 11 to 15, we see an outline of Israel's stumbling, their fall, their diminishing, and their casting away. Israel stumbled at the cross according to Romans 9, 32 to 33, there, the last two verses in the chapter. Israel fell in stoning Stephen, Holy Ghost filled Stephen, while he was speaking the words of the Holy Ghost. That was in Acts 7, toward the end of the chapter. Israel diminished from Acts 7 all the way through the end of the chapter when they were just like you and me then. They're not anything special after Acts 28. End of the book, I should have said. Not end of the chapter. Acts 7 through Acts 28, in other words. And Israel was cast away and blinded in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29. And I specifically use those words because the Bible uses those words. I don't like using the words put on the shelf or set aside. The Bible doesn't use those words. That's somebody trying to make it more palatable, I think. I don't know. It makes a connection with other groups that believe other things, too, though. Just use the scripture. That's fine. Israel's diminishing was simultaneous to salvation coming to those Gentiles that were in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy, according to Romans 11:11. Israel's diminishing was also simultaneous to Paul's provoking Israel to emulate his salvation and save some of them, according to Romans 11:14. Let's look at the many places where Paul goes after Jews and Greeks. And we'll just get started. We'll do the first one or two here, and then we'll look at the rest of those tomorrow. There are many, and we want to go through them because it's a significant proof. I mean, it shows that's what he said in Acts 26:19, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Well, if he wasn't disobedient to it, that means he did what the Lord had told him to do in that vision. And we can tell what the Lord told him to do by what he did. So we're looking at what he did. He went to these Jews and the Greeks in the synagogue. So the first one here, we've read it before, but let's look at the first six verses of Acts 13. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had prayed, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. That's their sending. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, that's the Holy Ghost sending, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God. The good news, the word, what they had heard. They preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. That's the point we wanted to see there. And they had also John to their minister. Verse 6, and we'll close with this. When they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. So there's another Jew they're ministering to. He was a bad Jew at the time, but he was a Jew. And I forget what he was. He was an official of some sort there in that island. He had hired him. He was on staff with him, it says. It says he was with this person. Oh, is that Sergius Paulus? I think it is. I can't remember, and I don't have it here in my notes. But that would be Acts 13, 6, 7, 8, 9, down in through there, through about 13. All right, I'm done. I don't think we should go any further tonight.